And they do that to their own destruction. They do that to their own peril. And they continue in their dysfunction. They continue in their addiction. They continue in their darkness until the darkness consumes them and drags them to the lowest pit. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I don't want to waste your time. You have given up time that you could be doing anything else in the world. But I am not afraid of wasting your time, because if you claim the truth of God's revealed word, there is no more important thing in this world than for us to feast upon that truth, because that is God's revelation of his heart to us. Do you want to know what God is like? It's right here. Thank you, Lord. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, on the surface, you might say, okay, well, I mean, on the surface, it looks like a story about some farmer or something. I mean, okay. You know, the guy went out and he threw a bunch of seed all over the place and, you know, got some vegetation out of some of it. Others didn't, got thorns and birds and, okay, what's up with that? And even the disciples were a little bit confused. And they checked. He wasn't a farmer. He was a carpenter. And they were tax collectors and things like that. Like, you know, Lord, well, I thought we were going out to advance the kingdom. You're out here giving agriculture lessons. What's up? Of course, it was an agricultural society. It was right where people lived. Everybody in Israel, at least, had ground. They were given ground by God. They were given land. And even the Levites were allowed to have little gardens, even though they weren't given territory, per se. So this was right up their alley. But when they got him alone, they said, "Lord, you know, what in the world really were you talking about that?" And this is what he said to them, Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 13. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately." When does he come?
Immediately.
Can you imagine that? The word is going out. The word is being preached, and Satan is right in there seeing whose heart he can snatch that out of. There is warfare going on all around us, and especially when the word is preached. Lord, I pray you would just bind the enemy right now. And in fact, we just take authority over you, Satan, in Jesus' name. You have no authority here. You have no place here. This is the house of God. This is holy ground. And we command you right now, desist and cease and be bound in Jesus' name. Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They just break preachers' hearts, man. Because they love it, man. You preaching, man. They're, "Oh, man, that was a good word. It was so great. It was so good." And 4 weeks later, you never see them again. 2 months later, you find out they're way back, right back in the world. And it breaks your heart. And you're like, "What happened, Lord?" Well, stony ground. They're the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. Cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for what?
Other things.
Entering in, choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, good dirt. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Man, give me that hundredfold fruit, man. I want to be a fruit basket. I want to be a juicy fruit. I want to drip with fruit, man. I want to leave a trail when I go by. People be like, man, mop on aisle 3, you know. Clean up on aisle 10. Oh, that old fruitcake has been by here again. Man. Glory to God. Okay, so the sower sows the word. And the seed is the word of God. It's the gospel. It's the good news that Christ died for us, rose again from the dead, sent His Holy Spirit to empower us and open access for us into all of the blessing and glory of God. The riches of heaven are ours through Jesus Christ. He sows the word. And in this parable, it's the same seed, the very same message that was sown in all of those different places. In fact, it was the same person that sowed the same seed in all of those places. And yet there were four completely and utterly different results from where that seed was sown. Four people heard the same word from the same preacher, and there were four different responses, four different results. Now, Friday night, a bunch of us, a half a dozen of us, went out to the city dock in Annapolis. Eight of us, if you include Paul and, I was going to say Silas, Paul and Seth. Yeah. And we hooked up with Chris Peeler and his people. And so about a dozen of us all together went out and shared the gospel at City Dock. It was really cool. To start it off, we went out down where it's surrounded by water, down by the seafood restaurant there, and Chris got out his little plastic soapbox, and he got up and he did some open-air preaching. And it totally rocked. I mean, we had a good crowd. People were laughing. They were engaged. They were listening to what he said. There was a lot of interactivity. And as he drew them in, and as he began to engage them and they began to really listen to what he had to say, then he laid down the gravity and the seriousness of the message of the gospel, what is really at stake, and people were just hanging on his words, really thinking and absorbing what he was saying. And then when he got finished, he gave an invitation, but then we all kind of dispersed and went over to all the various people that were gathered around listening, and we engaged them and we interacted with them. We said, what did you think of that? You know, how did you receive that? What was your impression? Do you see a place for that word in your life? And it was amazing. Same message by the same person. And when we debriefed about it afterwards, all of us had completely different experiences with the people we talked to. My experience was one of the best witnessing experiences I ever had in my life. It was beautiful. Had a great conversation with one guy, and then I went and talked to his two friends, a guy and a girl. Gave them, you know, talked at length, gave them a bunch of information and all, and as I was walking away a couple minutes later, she came running up to me with tears in her eyes and said, can I have that information about the church? And we began to share about her life and what God was doing in her life, and Chris came over and gave her a book. That was a great experience. Other people had a completely different experience. Nothing like that. Totally different. Same message, same preacher, a variety of different responses. And Jesus said there's basically four types of soil. There's basically four different states of the heart that will determine how a person reacts or responds to the Word of God. So we're going to break them down. We're going to take them one at a time. He says, the first one's the ones by the wayside. This is the hard dirt. Everybody say hard dirt. You ever run into any hard dirt? I tell you what, I mean, when you're sharing the gospel and you run into hard dirt out there, it's just like when you're a little kid and you run into hard dirt out on the ball field. You know what that feels like? Yeah. It's like, ouch, man. Good grief. Hard dirt. Jesus said, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, takes the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, when you have a field of crops, you have the field, basically, but on the outskirts of that, you have these pathways where people would walk by the field. And these are all worn out. It's the same dirt that's used where the crops, but the problem is people keep walking back. Animals walk on it, carts, people, and that dirt gets compressed over and over and over again until it just gets real hard. And so these pathways are not a part of the field. They're on the wayside. That's what he was saying. They're out on the outskirts. They're on the wayside. And these are people who have been hardened against the gospel and life by whatever means. Maybe people have walked on them. Maybe they've been crushed down and pressed down. But they're not a part of the field. They don't even pretend to be on the field. They don't want anything to do with the field. They're proud of the fact that they're on the wayside. They think the dirt in the field is just a bunch of ridiculous nonsense. But they like being on the wayside, and they're hard about it. And when that seed falls on there, it cannot penetrate the dirt because the dirt's too hard. It just lays right out in the open. And so the birds of the air, the demonic spirits under the rule and power of Satan, come and snatch that truth out of the person's heart before it has a chance to really sink in and begin to germinate and break up that ground and take root and bear fruit. It's been hardened. Satan is able to snatch it out of their heart before it has any effect. And the Bible says this. This is very serious. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, if the good news we preach is hidden to anyone, it's hidden from the one who's on the road to eternal death. Satan, who is the god of this evil world, has made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is God. In fact, it says the whole world lies under the sway of Satan. He blinds multitudes. That's our enemy. How does Satan do that? How does he blind people to the gospel? I think, here's my own opinion, I think there's a couple of different ways. Because I've debated against some atheists, and I've sensed something in their spirit when I've debated against them. It really is not about intellectual arguments at all, in my opinion. Because you can get brilliant intellectual arguments and have absolutely no sway with an atheist. Think of all the ways Satan blinds people to the gospel. Number one, he makes them bitter about experiences they've had with the church. A lot of atheists were in a church sometime when they were young. Marilyn Manson grew up in a supposedly Christian home. But people have had experiences in church where they were wounded, they bled, and there was no mercy given to them. They were bound up with legalism and browbeat and told they had to do this, that, and the other thing. They never experienced the love of God or the grace of God or the Spirit of God. And when by the time they got out of that thing, they said, God help me, if there is a God. You know, I am never setting foot in a place like that again. And they harden themselves and steel themselves against the gospel. And when they argue with you about it, there is a venom in them. You can sense the rage boiling just under the surface. They would rather die than admit this stuff is true. That's bitterness, man. They've been hurt. And we've done it to them. Maybe not like us. But the church has done it to them. And Satan just fuels that bitterness. He accuses, man. He's like, you know, those people, they are just not worth it, man. They're a bunch of blind. You see the truth. I think he does it by pride, to try to make them think it's foolish to believe or beneath them to believe. Because people, man, people are proud, especially intellectual people, very educated people. They're very proud of their academics. They worked hard. Bumpkins that believe all this stuff, and they're the church asking goofy and stuff like that and getting all emotional. Well, I am much more above that. I need to get emotional. I have intelligence. I understand. And it's a pride thing. Because if I believe that this is true, then I got to go down to that church next to that guy who didn't even finish sixth grade, you know, and be on the same playing field. So Satan fuels that pride and keeps them from believing. They won't believe because it means that they're not all they think they are. They are just not all that. So bitterness, pride. Also, the name Satan means the accuser. So he makes accusations. He whispers in their ear. You see that preacher, man? That guy just wants your money. He does. Man, that guy, what a bunch of f***s, man. He's just lying to you. All he wants to do is get your money. He's just, you know, he probably is an alcoholic on the side. And if you could look, you know, I mean, he accuses us to one another. He accuses us to God. He accuses God to us. He says, God, what are you talking about, God, man? Only that if God, if there's it wasn't God. How come you didn't get that promotion you really deserved? How come your boss was such an idiot to you? God would have given you that job. And so he accuses God. He accuses us to ourselves. Oh, that stuff can't be true, because if it is, man, you're in a heap of trouble. You could never be saved. The stuff you've done, God has cast you off. If there is a God, he would never love you, because you are just so filthy. You are so selfish. You are so twisted and perverted that God would never even take the time to look in your direction, because you're nothing but a twisted, perverted loser. Your dad saw it in you. You know you were a loser. He told you the truth, and why do you even pretend? So there, how can there be a God when he makes junk like you? You think I'm kidding? It's epidemic. It's epidemic. That's how he does it. He does whatever will work to make people not believe. Praise God. That's the ones on the hard dirt. Hard dirt. That's why I believe in revival, because you get a strong enough rainstorm, man, it can break up some hard ground. You can bring the hardest ground. Boy, I don't care if that stuff is like the desert, man. It's so dry. Stuff hadn't appeared in that stuff in years. But you get a good flash flood come through that place and rock that ground, water can break up anything, man. That's why we need to pray for revival, because people who will not be persuaded by intellectual arguments, who will be not be persuaded by charismatic personalities, or fellowship, or all the pleasantries that go with having church, when the Holy Spirit comes in, even they will fall. All right. Hard dirt, shallow dirt, the ones on stony ground. Jesus said, these likewise are the ones on stony ground.